This is Cloud Duty 101, and you're listening to the Fandom Squad Podcast.
You are now entering the Fandom Squad Podcast. Enjoy the madness.
Hey everyone, this is going to be another episode of the Fandom Squad Podcast. My awesome guest this week is TikToker Catlin, or Claude Beauty 101. How's it going?
It's going really good. Again, I'm really appreciated that you emailed me and allowed me to do this, and that you entrust me with your podcast. That's very sweet.
Thank you. It was an honor to, you know, to hear that I have a fan of your famous stature on TikTok.
Well, like I told you, I found you because of John Cooper. So,
oh yeah, that was a great interview for anybody out there. Lead singer of Skillet, great guy. And speaking of the emo bands and stuff, how did you, like we were just talking before we started recording, how did you find like the alternative style? Was it just the Skillet band, you saw their look, or was it how you started growing up and got into the alternative style?
Oh, yeah, I was not raised in this at all. So when I was little, I was raised, well, by my mother. My mother was in love with Skillet, and she raised me with Skillet, and I fell in love with how they looked. And I loved Icon for Hire. I loved Superchick when they were big. I saw them like, wow, that's confusing. They look cool, but I didn't really connect with the style very when I was a kid. Honestly, when I was little, I was raised in a unfortunate way with churches where I was raised that certain things were normal when really it's not normal, such as unfortunately certain church abuse and stuff like that. So a lot of this openness to dressing this way didn't come about until, I want to say, about 2015, when I want to say the blindness started to wear off. And I always loved the creativity aspect of it. I saw how people put it together in their own way, in their like different items, different clothing items, different jewelry pieces, and making the outfit their own, but they stand out. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. And I went through different phases. Like I was kind of like a little bit like, I wore a choker, of course. I wore the studded bracelets. Like I've had these for like 5 years. I transferred to goth and emo, to the emo scene. So it took me a while to get to where I always wanted to be.
Awesome. Yeah, it was the same way for me. I kind of, you know, I grew up with, you know, the classic rock thing with my dad. And I saw the guys, you know, with the battle jackets and the punk style. And I was like, I'm not cool enough to pull that off.
So how do you listen to the music, but they'll tell you to never dress like that?
Yes. And it's just one of those things, like I always look back, like when you hear like battle jacket, they're like, oh, that's like war. And then you're like, yeah, if you think about it, like how I bring it up with like calling it a battle jacket is why I actually built myself one eventually. The battle jacket, it's basically to protect you, you know, in a mosh pit. But how I took it is like me being at the time, like anxiety, the style in the battle jacket was I wore it all the time to kind of protect me from like, you know, bullying and anxiety. It was my suit of armor, you know, kind of like, you know, the armor of God. It was my way of, you know, protecting myself and expressing who I was on the inside.
That's exactly it. And I know a lot of people who may be blinded when it comes to certain things in the Bible. They'll say wearing black is evil. It's not. And let's be honest, fashion's always changing. Not everything's black and white in the Bible. There's a gray area. And like I said, fashion's always changing. What was once not okay back then to wear in the church is okay now. Wearing dresses, having your hair in a ponytail. So fashion is always changing. Black's not evil. Sure, it's used to represent different things that are evil, but that of itself is not something that is evil. It's different, but then again, I feel like with the church, they're afraid of things that are different. But I mean, look at Jesus. He was definitely different. He was not at all what the Pharisees or who the people expected. They wanted a king to be high on this pedestal, but yet he was the lowest of the low.
Oh yeah. And there's an image too that I always tell people. I'm like, yeah, the image that you always see, that's not who he was. I'm like, it was what they wanted you to believe that he was, because that was what royals look like at the time. I'm like, no, he was a short-haired peasant looking person like the rest of the people. Like,
he was colored though too.
Yeah, and he was not, like I always say, like Jesus wasn't a white guy. He was in the Middle East very tan, because if he was a pale blonde-haired white guy in the Middle East, he would have been burnt.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who have said to me, if Jesus was to come back today, would you want to dress that way? I'm like, yeah, because I'm expressing the creative gift that God has blessed me with. Is this me expressing myself? Is this me saying, God, you give me this gift, and I would like to use it for your glory? That's all this is.
Oh yeah. And it's the same way, like how I came with music. I was like, I like this rock music and I want to find a way to, you know, same with Skillet, like, you know, finding that way within this genre to do that message, but also sound the way that, you know, I want this sound to come out.
Right.
For the TikTok thing. So how did that come about? Like, did you just like, did you know that you were going to blow up, or was it kind of this idea of like, okay, I'm going to become like certain videos, or was it just kind of happened?
I literally had no idea. Like, here's the thing. I was once in a church and I ended up leaving the church because they highly disagreed with how I dressed. I was removed from several churches because of how I chose to dress. And I wanted to make a statement out there saying, hey, I can be Christian and dress this way. I can be. And during that time, there was a lot of confusion in my brain. There's a lot of things that I didn't fully understand. And I was still healing from a lot. Honestly, though, when I started making TikToks, I was doing it to kind of vent. I was doing it to kind of get out my frustration, to be like, I am upset. I am angry. I am embittered. And I don't know how to do it. Does anybody else feel this way? Does anybody else know what this is like to be dissed by the church like this? I did not expect this at all. This was the last thing. Like, I don't know how long you've been following me or how much you've seen me, but if you go to back a lot of my videos, I was like this cat girl at one point.
I think the oldest one I saw was where you had the story about where the pastor's wife was like, oh, honey, let me take you shopping to get you some normal clothes.
Oh,
I think that's the first ones I saw, besides the one my girlfriend had sent to me. That's the first one. And I was like, oh, I like their story. I like these stories. Let me watch some more to get your story.
Oh, you know, people have been, honestly, I think the biggest thank you I have to get besides God is I'm going to call my family. I don't like calling the followers, because honestly, they're not just a number of their lives behind a screen. So I try to call my family. I have no one else but my family, because I was growing. I was trying to find myself, and I reached in 6 months, 500,000. I had no idea what the heck I was trying to do. I was given a platform. I was like, I want to give them something I've never seen before. What is something that I can do? I wanted to do something. I did not know what. It didn't click in my head until God removed several people out of my life, where he was like, there are people, how do I put this? Here's my view with my content. I try to tell the Christians how you're reaching out to people is wrong. How you're forcing it down people's throats is wrong. How you're treating people who disagree with you is wrong. Unfortunately, there's a lot of church abuse that does happen, and a lot of churches want to ignore the issue. I'm a victim of that. Actually, survivor of that. That's the word I want to use. But at the same time, I want to try to reach out to those who are hurting, who are scared, and say, listen, I may not have gone through what you've gone through, but give me a chance. I'm not like them. There are Christians out there who don't just want to diss you every time you disagree with them. There are good Christians out there. So that's what I try to give to my family, is that I know you're scared and you don't have to trust me right away, but let me try to gain that trust. That's what I try to do with any of my viewers. I want to gain their trust. I don't want them just to look at me and be like, oh my gosh, I want to be just like her. I'm like, I want you to be better than me, especially with how I used to be. I used to be a very toxic Christian. I was, if you could think of a high preppy bully Christian girl, that was me. And honestly, TikTok definitely humbled me up and taught me a lot. It was thrown at me, and I was like, okay, God, I can't handle this anymore. I don't know what to do with these people. What do I do with it? And God definitely has led me on with it. So to answer your question, after this long Jurassic thing, it was kind of thrown at me, but a bunch of my viewers were very patient with me and helped me along the way and helped me become who I am today.
That's amazing. And no, you're good. Like, that's the whole reason. Like, I try to tell people, I'm like, no, I like ask questions to provoke you to ramble and tell your stories. I want to bring the things out of you, like, that you don't normally get in a normal interview. So yeah, if you exaggerate stories out, that's cool with me. Like, and with your stuff, I understand too. It's that I always tell the people, like, there's a song that my nephew got. He's a Christian rapper that he introduced me to, and the line says that church is where I found God, but it's also where I learned to judge. And
oh gosh, who is that? Who was that?
I think
who
it's NF, I think is what they're called.
I think it might have been NF.
And I was like, I love that line because I relate so much. And it's one of those things, I guess, for you too, that you realize you are through the message, you know, through God and his plan for you, that you are, you know, you're becoming the person that you wish that somebody was to you when you were growing up.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it. And honestly, if you want to know the biggest person that has, honestly, a person I looked up to, and I would love one day to collab with her, that'd be great. Icon for Hire. She wrote a book called Turn Your Pain into Art. And I was listening to it, I think about a month before I started doing TikTok. And again, I was doing it as a way to vent. And after I gained so many followers, I was like, I don't want to just have this platform. I want to do something with it. I want to make a change. If I'm going to be gaining this, I want to be known for something, and I want my viewers to feel comforted and know they're safe. That's what I wanted. Because let's be honest, how many people go through TikTok just scrolling? They do it to escape life. Something is going on, something that's happening at home, something's happening in their life, something they regret. They scroll and scroll and scroll to ignore their thoughts. And if anything, I want my platform to be a way where they can rest, put their thoughts to rest, know that they're comforted, know there's a place they can go. But reading Ariel Bloomer's book definitely helps me to put my foot down and think, this is the road I want to go. I have, unfortunately, by my own family, been dissed by what I'm doing. They do not like it at all. It's a big responsibility, and I know that. But in my mind, it is all the worth it. I know it's not going to last forever, and that's okay. But while I have it, I would like to use it to help him if I can. By the church, I've had, like I said, I've been kicked out of several churches. I've lost a lot of friends because of TikTok. They're like, TikTok's taking up a lot of your time. Why don't you just put them away? We don't get to see you as much. I'm like, in my mind, this is a ministry. Even if they don't become Christians, that's not necessarily the goal. I want them to stay alive, to keep going. Especially in the world that's turning upside down day after day, what they need is a little hope. And if I end up losing people on the way, or people may not agree and cut me out, that's, you know what, that's completely up to them, and that's okay. They don't understand what I have. And that's where I'm like, God, you have your reason for this. I let it go to you. I love them. I love my family. But this is definitely, after prayer, after sign, this is definitely the road I know God wants me to be on. So this is where I'm going to walk for now.
Oh, yeah. And it's always that, you know, that saying they say, like, you, even your family, you know, your spouse, your significant other, like, he's always number one. So what he wants you to do is always going to come first. Yes, you love your family, but that's your mission, that's his plan for you to do this thing. So you're going to make sure that's your number one, because that's what he wants you to do.
Luckily, my significant other supports me all the way and tries to push me all that I can and make sure I don't quit. So I've been blessed with that one.
Yes. And I see your philosophy too. There was a teacher I had in high school that said this in psychology, and I always do this now because of him. He always said that no matter, and I get these from your videos too, the same energy that, you know, no matter how your day is, always put a smile on and smile at everyone, because you never know what somebody's going through. And they may be that person that goes, okay, if nobody smiles at me once today, I'm going to end it all. Nobody cares about me. Nobody shows me any of, you know, nobody shows me that I'm worth being here. And you giving, just smiling at somebody could be that one thing that saves their life. And so with that philosophy, I get that from your videos, that philosophy of like, I'm going to be this little light of joy to somebody's day that they may not get and save their life.
Don't get me wrong. It is hard. It can get very, very difficult. And it gets, especially with some comments I get, there's I get very much hate comments from people who don't like the emo scene area. Then again, I try to think, what if they're bullied by emo scene kids when they were little? Like, what if they were harmed by one or hurt by one? I try to put it under that perspective, because we don't know what their background is like. And if I can at least do one thing to give them a positive connotation on the emo scene people, I definitely can. Especially when there's, unfortunately, some emo scene people will make there be a lot of competition when there shouldn't be. I mean, I think that's anywhere though.
Oh yeah, like that was one thing for me too when I was growing up, kind of what attracted me to the alternative scene is that, you know, I grew up, you know, like, you know, around the you know, super preppy Christians, and I just wasn't my style and stuff. And I, you know, the people that embraced me for, you know, my weirdness and my geekiness and my nerdiness, the ones that were embraced me were, you know, the alternative kids or the theater kids, you know, the weird kids. So I kind of grew to that, you know, that thing growing up. And then it's sort of my best friend introduced me to a lot of the same bands. And
but so you're honestly some of the best kids though.
Yeah. They're some of the sweetest people. Like, we have these people are like, oh, you wear black and, you know, you wear all these makeup and this spikes and you're just this dark thing. But like, they're some of the sweetest people. Like, I tell people, like, my dad is a biker, and like, I grew up around a lot of biker people. Like, those look like some of the toughest, meanest guys, but I know a lot of them personally, and they're just big teddy bears. They wouldn't admit that, but they're big teddy bears that just like rock music and black leather, you know?
And I have been told by several parents, like, you probably scare so many kids away. I'm like, actually, no. It also depends on what kind of expression you give off. Because if you're mad and you look like this, yeah, you're going to scare away a bunch of kids. But it also depends on how they're raised, I feel like, because if they're raised to fear people who look like us, then they're going to be afraid of us.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things. It's like the classic of Susie, little Susie, get over here. Don't go next to that emo weird person over there in the aisle.
This is going to be very stereotypical, but like, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yes.
But like, look what they did to Jesus.
Oh yeah. And like I said, that he said this one thing, and they, you know, the people that were supposed to be the people who were embracing him killed him.
Exactly.
So one thing I also too hear, one thing we talk about big in the show is that like is mental health awareness. So how is that? I know you touched on it a little bit. How is that for you, sort of the, I know with some of the responsibility, you know, in your walk, going from, you know, just, I wouldn't say a nobody, just going from somebody that nobody recognized to this, you know, having like close to 2 million people that, you know, look at you for inspiration. How was that, you know, from a mental health aspect?
If you want my honest answer, whenever I post a video, my brain goes, I hope this reaches them. Here's my rule with my videos. I don't post a video if I do not feel it, because they will know. They will know. I want them to be able to look into my eyes and know that I absolutely mean it to them. There's a lot of anxiety, because I know I got a couple of my videos removed because I like to tick off some normal Christians. So my videos sometimes get removed, and then I'm like, oh no, I don't, oh no, God, please, please let them restore my video. Please, please, please. And I have a lot of anxiety, not gonna lie. But I also feel like being surrounded with people who constantly say this is not the path for me, that doesn't help. But knowing that it helps people, that is my biggest comfort, because that's what I want. And I tell people, I don't care. I tell people, you don't have to follow me. I don't care. But if my video helps you, that is what matters to me. If my video is able to reach them, that's what I want. So honestly, I feel more at peace when it reaches people and they know that they can keep going because of my video. That's what I want. Like I said, there's going to be anxiety, there's going to be stress and getting ready, then pick out the outfit the night before. And then I'm like, oh no, what if I already did this outfit already? They're gonna know. Although I did the outfit like a year ago. Oh my gosh, it can be anxiety filled. But also, especially when I have people reaching out wanting to do collabs, and I'm like, I'm scared. I don't know who you are. Please, please, please. Like, it's anxiety filled and it's rewarding. It's rewarding in the way that I know that I'm helping people, and that's what I want to do. I'm bringing comfort to people who are bullied or who want to look like me and didn't have the courage to, and now have the courage to. And sometimes what they need is someone to tell them, hey, I was afraid to look like this too. And you know what? That's okay. You take your time. So.
Oh yeah. It's that same way with me. Like the way I'm dressing, I'm like, I always see that. I'm like, okay, what if there's that kid out there that sees me the way I saw those people when I was growing, going, man, I wish I could wear that. Or, you know, like, I wish I, you know, like wearing my jacket with the pins and stuff. And I'm like, I had so many people that I'm like, okay, they're like, ah, oh, this is going to get me so many bad looks, but I've had so many people come up to me and be like, oh my God, that's awesome. Or where did you get that? And I'm like, oh, it's handmade. This is one of a kind. Like, you can't buy this.
You get both bad reaction and good reaction. Oh gosh.
Or my favorite is you have the parents are like, oh my gosh. But then the kids are like, oh my God, look, they got I have like Disney, but I have bands and stuff mixed in. So they're like, mom, look at the button he's got on that. And look at this and that.
When I've met a lot of my followers in real life, like I ran into them stuff, and sometimes your parents are really like, oh my gosh, we're so glad there's like someone that's safe for my kids to watch, that's safe for them, and not to worry about what they're watching. Your content's always safe. And I'm like, oh yay. So, but then I have like some people making comments like barcode, and I'm like, no. Wrist check. I'm like, no. We don't joke about that kind of stuff. Or I've had some girls try to take pictures of me, and that's my favorite. Because I'm like, if you're going to take a picture of me, let me know so I can post. Like,
let me do the little kiwai.
it's I get good reactions and bad reactions. And in both cases, like, especially in the bad reactions, I have to hold my tongue because I'm like, no, keep it quiet because you don't know what their background is.
Yes. Now with that thing too, we can talk about it. If not, because I know a lot of people in this, unfortunately, with the alternative scene, that is something that, you know, people bring up about, especially because I know a lot of us, it's an aesthetic thing, using the razor blade because it looks cool. But so a lot of people, you know, associate, you know, I'm a survivor myself. A lot of people associate the alternative scene with self-harming, you know, killing yourself and suicide. And I want, you know, like there's a lot of to the alternate that are, you know, that's not that, but I'm like, it's more than the music. The reason we listen to this music is because we sometimes have these feelings, that feeling that hurt, that you're not alone, that somebody else is feeling that pain. That's why we listen to the things that we listen to. We wish we could scream out our pain.
It's knowing that somebody else understands.
Yes. Now, have you struggled with that in your life, with the self-harm things?
Or? I will tell you a story. And this is actually a story I have not told out to the public. So you're very special with this one. I haven't done it in a long, long time. And then an event recently happened. Not recently, but back in October. And this is to hopefully reach out to viewers who are ashamed of struggling. Listen, even if it takes years and years of struggling, it's okay. It's okay. What matters is it's getting less and less and less. The way I view struggles like this is that everyone has an unhealthy coping mechanism sometime or another. It's just different per person. Some people, how do I put this? Oh, you have a brick wall. Some people are able to jump right over it. Some people have to slowly climb over it. Some people need a little help. But everybody overcomes struggles in different ways in their own time. And so back in October, something had happened where I was accused of something, wasn't sure or anything, had to go to the police about it, and I was absolutely devastated. And then my family and I were threatened. So I was very devastated by that. So a lot of my viewers have asked me about it, but I have scars right here from that incident. I thought, I cannot live anymore if this is going to put my family in danger. I have not done it since, but it is interesting how pain can control one's actions. And again, it is something that I'm still overcoming, and I have not done it since then, but it shows that the temptation is still there. But you know what? I'm getting better day by day. I'm seeking the help that I'm needing to. I have my therapist, and that's okay. Like, when it comes to struggles, I think a lot of us want to just get done it over with, overcome it already. And that's something that's not going to happen for everybody. And that's okay. Everybody has their own progress. And as long as you're making progress, that's good. That's something to be proud of. So that is something.
And thank you for telling me that story. Like, I feel honored that, you know, to be open and honest about it. Because that's one thing I wanted with this show. Like, I want honesty from people. I want that realness. You know, I want to, you know, get to know the real person. I know that for you is very something that is hard to talk about, you know, and it's something that needs to be talked about more. It needs to, I wouldn't say normalized, you know, but there. You know,
it's okay. Like, there are days where you feel like you wish you were not here. That is going to happen. People are going to feel that way. And that is okay. It's okay to not feel okay. And like I said, it is hard to talk about. It's difficult. And you're like, what do people think of me? What do people think I'm suicidal and stuff like that? Everybody is going to fall into their struggle, especially something snapped, especially something like that happened to my family. That's a nightmare. That was a nightmare. But that's something God, now that I see it now, it was used to definitely strengthen me and help me through everything that was going on. God removed people, but also God put people in my life that I definitely needed and I didn't know before. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. It's those trials of tribulations to help you, you know, you strength you up. Like, I can be an honest story as well to kind of relate to that, you know, overcoming that and using that as your strengths. My for the listeners that don't know, like, for the most part, since I was 11 until I graduated high school, my sister raised me as like her child. And at the time, when she was younger, we went through a lot of stuff with my parents and my mom, and she was wondering and struggling in her walk with faith, that like, I'm just a kid. At the time when she took me in, she was only 16. And mm-hmm. She was like, I'm just a kid growing up. Why are you putting so much on me? And then she realized when she had to go into court and fight for custody for me against our mother, she realized at that moment, if she hadn't gone through those things, she wouldn't have had the strength to stand up and fight for what she needed to do to make sure I didn't go through a lot of the things that she went through.
And that's exactly it. Because honestly, through that it sparked. I'm a person where I'll give people many chances. I am too big, too forgiving. And I try to look at the best in people. I try to believe that everyone is good on the inside, but unfortunately there are people that just don't care. And we're called to forgive. You do not need to let them back in. You do not need to. And that was something that I was definitely taught after that day, is that if there's people who are doing this, it's okay to hit that block button. It is okay to get rid of them. If they say things, you know the truth. You have the evidence. There's nothing to worry about. It's all in God's hands, and God will take care of it. Vengeance is the Lord's.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of times that, you know, even if they're family, if somebody is very toxic and not good, a part of your life, sometimes, you know, people just don't need to be part of your life because they're just so toxic. And there's people that, you know, can be your family that are not necessarily have to be blood related. If that family, you know, doesn't love you for you, then sometimes you don't need them in your life because it's worse for you to be in that situation than have them in your life.
Correct. Yeah.
So sometimes you have to, he shows you, sometimes you have to make that hard decision and cut ties with people that you've known your whole life.
And it's to strengthen you.
Yes. So, and one thing I wanted to show you too, with the thing that kind of helped me out of the self-harming thing, I actually, my viewers haven't seen this. They've probably seen it every now and then, but I actually was my first tattoo. I'm getting more, but this is my first tattoo. It's on my, it's right here where all my scars used to be. And it says rise above, to remind myself to rise above the pain, that you can get through this, that it's going to be okay.
And something I like to say is the best revenge is to rise above it.
Yes. And it's one of those, it kind of is a mix of that and the lyrics of the Seether song, Rise Above. I kind of got that, yeah, a mix of that together.
So there's one song by them that changed my life forever. And I was walking past this one house in my neighborhood, and something that, it was a song that unlocked in my brain that went, wait. So I went through abuse through different things. And through church, other people, and I'm not gonna go into details just in case. And I was taught that that's normal and okay because they were adults. And because listening to the song, Words as Weapons, that unlocked a thing in my brain where I went, wait, this isn't normal, is it? And that honestly, Seether, that song definitely saved my life. That song, Words as Weapons, it unlocked my brain and actually made me start questioning and wondering, is this normal? Is this how it's supposed to be? To everyone listening, no, it's not normal and it's not okay.
Oh, yes, I relate to that same song. It made you realize that, you know, the thing that you always thought for so long, that people are like, oh, you were abused, but, you know, you never had any bruises. But you're like, I was, you know, verbally abused. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times that is even worse than, you know, that's worse than physical abuse. Like,
or people at the church are like, oh, there's not a very incident that happened with a church member. I don't remember the person's name or anything. It was like a Wednesday night, and there was unfortunate sexual abuse that happened. And I was like, oh, we're a church person. That must have been for a reason. And then as I go older, I'm like, oh wait, no, that's not okay. That's definitely not okay. So now I'm all it with going to churches.
Oh yeah.
And I don't blame people being afraid going to church. And I hate Christians who tell them, you should go to church, you should be in church. Well, for me, I can't because of health problems I'm enduring at the moment. And I don't blame people being afraid. They have every right to be. And church shouldn't be demanding trust from people. That's something that needs to be earned. Because churches always say, well, that's not our church. I'm like, are you sure? Are you positive about that? Like, what things are you doing to make sure nothing bad happens? Sure, it may not be your church, but there's too many churches, unfortunately, that are like that. It's a nightmare. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine. Like I said, we get real on this podcast, so you're good.
I'm sorry. That's just something that really angers me when it comes to the church. Well, yes, God has definitely been on my side in everything. He's helped me and guided me. My anger is not with him. It's how the church has dealt with different things that absolutely frustrate me.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things that I tell people, like, it's not God and it's not the church. It's a lot of the times it's the people who are the not, you know, perfect people in it are the problem.
Like, even if you don't disagree, even if you disagree with how someone looks or dresses or they're part of the LGBT, I don't care. You treat them incorrectly or wrong, that is not okay. Like, Jesus was friends with tax collectors and the prostitutes for peace sake. He let a prostitute wash his feet with a very expensive oil. That is how we should be treating them. Anybody. And when I see churches treat them that way, I'm like, no. You're not displaying the love of Christ. That's not what it is. And it breaks my heart, especially when I go to church and they treat me a certain way. And I'm like, this is how you treat people who are homeless or maybe who don't dress as nicely as me. Like, you don't know their background. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And it's that thing that, like, my grandma always raised me to, you know, raise me in the way that she was very old school, but she also was kind of I wouldn't say new school, but she had this philosophy that, you know, no matter what walk of life, no matter I'm going to love you. If you're in my life, I'm going to love you no matter what. If you're sinning, no matter whether that's, you know, being an alcoholic or, you know, being, you know, other things, you know, I'm going to love you no matter what. I love you, but I just don't love the sin that you do.
And yeah, that's exactly it. Like, what you're doing may be hurtful to yourself and be damaging to yourself, but I'm still going to be here. And that sometimes that's all you can do.
Yeah. And just showing that, you know, that love that, you know, everybody is welcome. You know, you don't have to be, it's not an exclusive club. Like, even though sometimes
now
some people like
endangering other people, now it's actually endangering other people, then yeah, get out of the church.
Yeah.
But like, if it's not endangering people and it's just a matter of disagreement, just.
Oh yeah. It's very one of those things that, you know, it's, a lot of people, it's hard to explain until you know you've lived it yourself. You know, like I can tell we've both been through those things, and like, you know, you've seen the good parts and you've seen the very bad parts of being in this religion. And sometimes, a lot of times that, you know, a lot of times you get labeled a certain way because you are part of this religion. Like, I, you know, I always make the joke to my sister, like, I was like, I'm a Christian, but sometimes I don't say that. I said, because I don't want to get labeled as this certain, I always make the joke about, you know, the super hateful racist rednecks. I'm like, that's not me. And sometimes the term being a Christian is automatically stamped as one of those people. And I'm like, no, we're not all like that. Where that is just bad side.
Do you want to know what I call it? I tell people I'm not your standard cookie cutter shaped Christianity.
Yes.
Or I'm not your stereotypical Christian. I feel like, and this is my best example when it comes to describing like different kind of Christians. I'm like, listen, everyone thinks that every Christian should fit this shape of cookie with this type of ingredients. But what if I wanted to be a different shape with chocolate chips? You may think it's weird, but I'm equally as delicious. Like, yeah. Sure, I'm different. Sure, I have different flavors, but I'm still delicious. I'm still a cookie. I'm still a cookie.
Yeah, and it's that thing too. Like, he made us all in his image, but he made us all differently unique as ourselves as well. And so we're not all going to be that straight cookie cutter. You know, we all can be. That's the whole thing of what it's supposed to be, that we can all come from different walks and different lives and all, you know, rejoice that, you know, in this one thing. Like, I always tell people, like, this is why I don't label myself. Like, I just recently, like, I started going to I grew up Baptist my entire life, in Free Will Baptist. And and just recently my sister got me into we've started going to Pentecostal church. And
oh boy,
it was way different, but I kind of realized, I was like, okay, these are my people. Like, the way you guys worship, just in your music, me being a music person, like, that is how I feel it should be. You shouldn't just have to be like, I'm just going to stand here and yes, I'm just going to stand here and read these lyrics. Like, if I feel the moment, if this song is making me, I'm going to let you know that I'm feeling it. You know what I mean?
Unity. There should be more unity.
Yes. And that it's one of the most accepting people that, you know, saving places that I've been. Like, me and my girlfriend went there, and she had, at the time, it's different color now, I call her my Ramona Flowers, it was bright pink at the time, and she grew up very, you know, very hypocritical type churches where they're very judgmental. And this church she went there, and she not only got compliments on her hair, she didn't realize till after the fact that when she was talking to my sisters that one of the people that came up to her first and was like, oh my God, you're so beautiful, I love your outfit, I love your hair, was the pastor's wife. And well, she was like, not only was it that people, yes, she was like, not only that the people embraced us, she never felt like so accepted in a church that it was to the point where it was almost like, okay, this is too much, being too, you know, too many people are being saying hey to me and shaking my hand, and to the point where you're like, okay, it might be a little too much. And I'm like, no, that's a good sign that it's.
I'm trying to find that. Unfortunately, because of my health right now, I'm being having cancer and stuff, other health problems like that. I it's hard to get up in the morning to go to church with taking medicine. I have to drink like a tea and a powder stuff to help build up my stomach lining, and that drains the energy out of you, as well as the treatments I have to do twice a week and my supplements. That drains your energy so bad, and it's absolutely painful at times. So I can't wake up early in the morning to go to church or anything. I can't go anywhere early in the morning. I have to stay at home. So I can't go to church for a while, but man, I want to find a church like that. It's very difficult to find a church like that.
Oh yeah. And it was shocking to me. So like I said, it was one of those things you're like, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. This is
exactly,
I feel I can walk in here like with a t-shirt on and my Vans and nobody say a word, and they're just happy to see that I'm there. So it's great to, you know, find these places. And with your situation so I know with some of your health thing, how was that, you know, affecting you with your spirituality, with your, did you say cancer that you're going through? Or
I have cancer in my reproductive system, digestive system, and my urinary. Mainly it's my reproduction. So me and my mom both went to see a holistic doctor, and they do a full-on body scan, and it's FAA approved or something like that. FAA approved, I think. But basically it's like an x-ray, dentist, it's everything combined into one. It shows you everything that's wrong with your body, even with mental disorders, stuff like that. Astronauts use it apparently. It was one thing to get diagnosed. So first of all, I wasn't scanned first, my mother was, and I found out that she had leukemia. So that hit me hard, and I was like, oh, okay. And then they did me, and I was like, oh, wait, okay, this is too much to process right now. This is way too much. So it hit and it scared me, because at the same time though, it helped me to slow down, because a big thing I had a problem with was taking care of myself and focusing on my mental health and my physical health problems. I always set it aside because other people would be like, oh no, I have that too. Is that as big of a deal for me? So I thought, okay, well, I shouldn't be as worried about it. For example, my period lasted the 4 weeks, but my body is different from other people's bodies. So that may be very bad for me. So it was like a dump truck hit me. It was like first one hit me, then decided to back up and hit me again. I was like, okay, I'm done. But now, how I'm feeling now, I feel more rested, because they said the word they used was it's fixable. It can be reversed. I just have to do it in a more natural way, and I can't do chemo or anything. I can't take medication. It won't help my body. I have to do it a different way, but I'm keeping in hope, because from what I've heard, there are positive. I've had other people do the exact same thing with the holistic doctor, and they've had nothing but positive results. So I'm embracing to that. I had to change my entire diet. It has to be gluten-free, sugar-free, peanut-free, pig-free, shrimp-free, soybean-free. So it's anything OSEOs I cannot have, except lactose. That's fine. I can have pure milk. But it was a lot of changes, but honestly, I know it's helping me, and I'm learning to take better care of myself, focusing on myself. And then that then encourages me to tell other people, hey, it's okay to take a step back. It's okay to tell people you have health problems. And honestly, through telling people my health problems, I had to cut out a lot of people because they weren't understanding of it. And maybe that's a message for somebody here today, that if somebody's not willing to try to understand your health problems and give you what you may need during this time, the space you need, that they're not the friend for you. Like when I collabed with GFM or Isa Offline, they were very understanding with my health conditions. We're like, okay, that's fine. What can we get for you? Is there anything you need? Wasn't that be helpful for you? And I don't have to feel embarrassed about what I have to do to get well. So it was first was a shock, but it's helped me to grow in like taking care of myself, and helped me to like want to then show other people, hey, it's okay to step back. It's okay. And if people leave your life, it was for the better.
Yeah, thank you so much for, you know, being open about that. Like I said, I know we're opening a lot more, opening a lot today on the show. And I want to thank you for being open about that. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, that's your message of, you know, if your message would help somebody, you know, if that's one person. Now with that, with those struggles, how is that? Because I know how strong you are in your faith. How has that affected you, you know, spiritually?
I was mad. Not gonna lie, I was mad at first. I was like, nope, I'm done. I am done. I am finished. And especially with other people telling me, like, you should not be doing this, you should quit. So something I used to do was journaling, and I quit. And I started journaling again. And that helped me a lot. And like I said, at first I was mad. I was like, nope, I'm done. I give up. Nope. And I was just not okay with it. But over time, I saw God removing people. I saw God adding people and really revealing to me who my real friends are. Because I've had, unfortunately, had some friends be like, you're going to die soon anyway, so bye. I'm like, okay, I should be fine. Like I said, they said I should be able to recover, and that's what I'm focusing on. But it was hurtful. I was hurt. I felt impaled at that point. But it, in time, it showed me the people who were meant to be in my life. It really did. I don't know how to describe this. Maybe I don't know if you've had some kind of illness or something like that, where it really revealed the people who were your true friends. Because I'm not going to lie, hearing your friend has cancer is not, it is a big bullet to take. And some people don't want to deal with the pain. And I understand that. But to those who are really willing to put up with it, that means the most to me. Especially with my boyfriend. He's still stuck by me. He's like, you know, you're going to get better. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to help you through this. And that's the kind of friendships we need, is people be like, listen, even if this gets worse, I'm going to stick by you. We're going to push as far as we can with this. And that's how I've been trying to work with it as for right now. And through my boyfriend, God's definitely used him to have me be like, okay, God, you've used this. You've taken people out of my life, and you've added people in my life. You've used this to direct me, and that's what I'm clinging on to. It, like I said, at first it was anger, but it has helped me to grow more, for sure. And to heal in different ways that I didn't think I needed healing in.
Yes, that's good to hear, because I know a lot of times with, you know, tragedies like that, you know, a lot of people, you know, they lose their religion. Not to quote REM, but they lose, you know, they fall out of their religion because they're like, I did, you know, I've so much and I followed you. How could you do this to me? You know, and so it's good that you are, you know, you're still strong and you still have that relationship, and it's helping you actually, you know, get through the treatments and stuff that you're doing. And with, like, you asked about the relating thing, I haven't gone, like, I do have type 1 diabetes, which is a, you know, eventually is a terminal illness that will kill me later on. My grandma, when I was in high school, she was diagnosed 2 or 3 years before that. And we got her for 9 years. She had a slow growing, but I had to tell people, like, I can't do certain things, or I can't do this, because I have to, you know, I have to help my grandma. I have to take care of her, because she was there for me my whole life. And now this is my favor to her, to take care of her. And, you know, seeing somebody, she was somebody that I'd say was probably the closest to a saint as you can get as a, you know, a Christian, and like what I perspire to be. And just seeing somebody who was so strong in their faith, just battling this disease, that you're like, how can it be somebody who was so devoted, you know, to this, be so devoted and be hurt by this very times where she, you know, painful disease that, you know, just eats at you day in and day. And some days you feel great. Some days you just like, just take me already. And hearing, talking to her, you know, she had that same thing as you. Like, she used that. She did have her days that are like, that she would just like scream, not gonna say scream, but just having arguments with God. But she is that same way. She used it to, you know, she used it to get closer to God. And we had an amazing send off that I just chills. Like, we had spirits in that room. And I tell people that, like, experiencing that for myself, like, I know it seems like, you know, it seems bad, like, dealing with that. And I'm like, no, I feel that me doing that, I got closer in my relationship, you know, experiencing that, seeing, you know, that struggle, that, you know, seeing that, and it helped me, you know. I'm used to be like, why are you doing this? Why are you taking her from me? But then it made me, like you said, it slowed down and made me appreciate the little moments, you know, the little things, and like taking things that you would just pass by every day, taking the small things that with all the hustle and bustle in our life that we take for granted.
Everything you say reminds me of my mother. That's part of the reason why, like, I would like to go back to school and stuff, but like with my health, with what my mom has, part of the reason why, like, I don't move out or anything is because my mom definitely needs help here. And like, you're right. Like, you see, when you spend time with that person who's going through so much, and honestly, like, when my mom is far worse than I am, like, way worse. And I'm like, Mom, how the heck are you taking this? She's like, well, they said it's fixable. There's positive results, so I know I'm going to be okay. And how she is, and how Christ-driven she is, and how much in her word she is. It really sets an example for me. And I'm not going to lie, someone really helped push my faith when I was diagnosed was my mom. Because she, like I said, she had it way worse than I did. And just seeing her being able to pray and read and just trust that everything's going to be, I have very bad anxiety. I have been diagnosed with severe anxiety, where my body's always in a state of anxiety. And the problem is my body has normalized it, so I don't feel it. And so if something goes off, I will have a non-epileptic seizure due to it. So seeing my mom so at peace, I was like, how do you do that? So she really, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I love her, and I love her with all my heart. And I'm like, God, please don't take that away. Please don't. She definitely has helped me keep strong. So I can say I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Oh yeah. And it's one of those things, like, especially now she's passed in 2014. And it's one of those things, like, you, at the time it was very hard, but me and my sister now, we can look back and, you know, remember some of those moments and, you know, and just, you know, enjoy and, you know, laugh at some things that happened. Like, there's one that we laugh at. It's because my grandma was close to a saint. Woman never swore in her life. And she got to a point where her mental state wasn't there as much anymore, and she couldn't believe herself, and we had to help her to the restroom sometimes. And one time we were helping her up, and she just was like, oh no, I think I just S-worded on myself. And we were just like, look at each other like, did she just say that? Like, our whole life, like, even my mom was like, Did y'all hear that too? Like, and
Mom, you okay?
Yeah. So we knew that at that point we're like, okay, something's, you're definitely going downhill. Let's call the nurse lady after that incident. But we look back at that now, and, you know, it's a funny moment to us that we can, you know, look back at in a good light.
Right. You know? Something you hold on to. You're like, this was scary in the moment, but now we're gonna hold on to this, like,
yeah, we were there in that moment. And it's like I said, it makes you think, and, you know, makes you take perspective on things. And it's why I kind of, like, you know, got into doing this. And because one thing that I loved with her is we would always go on, you know, grandson and grandma dates to Cracker Barrel, and she would tell me stories of how she grew up in the Great Depression, and she'd point out the signs of stuff that they, yeah, she grew up on a Georgia, a small Georgia farm in the Great Depression. And she would point out the things and tell me like the stuff they did on the farm and all these stories. And I was like, I love hearing these stories. And then I was talking to my girlfriend. I was like, I like behind the scenes stuff. I like documentaries. And she was like, well, you used to do these, this sit down thing with your grandma. Why don't you reach out? You know a lot of things about a lot of stuff. Reach out to some of these people. What's the worst they can say is no. She's like, reach out and just, you know, tell stories, listen to them, tell stories. And that's where how your show is going to be different. Like being real honest, like telling these real stories that, you know, at the time were a struggle, but now you can look back in a different light. And it's one of those things that thanks to her and that experience brought me to where I am now.
Girlfriend, you did a good job. And that's why I'm saying, like, scars are stories. That's how I try to view it. Like, and I try, when it comes to my videos, I try to bring the light. It's okay. It shows how far you've come. It shows where you were at one point or recently.
Oh yeah. And
can help people. And that's why, like, I've been tempted to get tattoos over them. And a part of me is like, well, maybe I shouldn't. And I have seen so many people get shamed for their scars. And I'm like, those are stories that can help people.
Oh yeah. I always tell people, I'm like, I call them two things. I call them, you know, your tiger stripes and your battle scars.
I like battle scars.
So I'm like, it's your, you know, your, it's your stripes, you know, you survived it. It still shows you're here. You went through it and you made it through and you're still here, you know, just like a badge of honor in like for military stuff. You were in that battle. You might've got wounded. You got your stripe. It shows that you did it and you got through it.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's, like I said, it's one of those things that it's hard to hear you going through those things. And like I said, I'm glad that you have such a positive take in that, you know, that, and with today's technology and, you know, science improvements, I know that there's a lot of things that can, you know, a lot of outcomes are not as bad as they used to be. Like way back in the day, that would have been, you know, a straight up death sentence, you know?
And the thing is, yeah, don't get me wrong. It sucks not being able to eat like ice cream, actually sugar-free ice cream, but that's why I try to grasp onto. It might, like, and I'm not trying to, like, degrade what I have, but I try to look on the bright side and think, you know what? There's sugar-free ice cream that exists. I could still have turkey bacon. It could be worse.
Oh, yes. And, like, some with me being diabetic, I have to do a lot of the unsweetened things. I know you're big into the energy drinks. Are you still allowed to have, like, caffeine or?
I can have coffee. When it comes to energy drinks, I have been highly recommended to stay completely away. Now, with the Monster Energy cases, I did it all underneath doctor supervision and doctor instruction. She's like, you are to have one sip. Here's what you need to do. The supplements you need to take right afterwards. She told me that I cannot do the taste test that often, though. And I'm like, that is completely okay. So I cannot have any of the Monster Energies. But I still enjoy making stuff out of them. So will I buy a full can, dump it out just to make something out of it? Yes, I will. 100%. Oh, yeah.
Now, one that I've tried recently, I don't know if it's, like I said, with the caffeine thing. I know a lot of people give it a bad rap, but I've tried Bang, and it has, like, the no sugar or nothing in it. And the only thing mainly that's in it
still has OSE. That is still it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I thought it was just, like, the 300 milligrams of, woo, I'm awake.
You know, so basically, so with sugar, so I don't know if you've heard the statement before, but sugar feeds the cancer. So what sugar does to damage your body, stevia does to repair it. Stevia is a naturally found in earth. So it's a natural sweetener that this can be grown, and it repairs the body. I'm required to eat three tablespoons of it a day. And it is 10 times sweet. If you get pure stevia, you want to try to get as pure stevia as possible. It's expensive. Yay, but it helps.
Now that you say that, I think they actually, I wonder if that's why my grandma started using stevia like late in her cancer stuff for her teas and stuff, because she always had unsweetened tea and she used sweet and low. And then at one point, she switched to stevia. And I wonder if that was the reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That the doctor's like, you can still have your unsweet tea, but you got to use stevia, not sweet and low. So yeah, I didn't know that.
It's an artificial sweetener, and artificial stuff's not good for your body.
Yes. It's like, I love stuff with Splenda, but I'm like, I know this Splenda is almost just as bad as the sugar.
Yes. Like, you have natural sugar from, like, fruit and stuff, but if it's, like, our sugar is bleached, okay? It's the industry, how they cleaned and processed it. That's what makes it bad.
Oh, yeah. So I work at a grocery store, and I'm like, I've seen things that I'm like, yeah, that I'm not going to eat that anymore.
I can still have cheese balls, so that's okay. I can still have cheese balls.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, have you tried any of the, are you allowed to have, like, I know she couldn't have a lot of, like, ground beef and stuff like that.
Oh, I can have beef. I just can't have pig or shrimp.
Oh, okay. Now, I know they do a lot of the, I've tried both the brands, like the Beyond and Impossible stuff is a really good alternative too.
Mm-hmm. You got to get the right brand though, because if you get the right brand, it tastes no different.
Oh yeah. So I've had both. I've had all different kinds and I'm like, okay, yeah, y'all did the science where this tastes like meat. The other ones, I can tell this is black beans.
And like I said, like, it could honestly be worse.
Oh, yes. And then one thing, too, I wanted to ask you as well that we always talk about on here. So I know we talked about the Monster Energy drinks and you're making those things. What are some of the other, like, you know, I consider bands, too, bands, fandom stuff that, you know, inspire you? Or what are your top three fandoms / two honorable mentions of either geekdom or stuff that you just are awesome, that make you just, oh, if you see it, you gotta buy it.
Monster Energy, hands down. If it's Monster Energy, I buy it. So if I, for example, I made these, I saw these little can charms and I bought them and I made little Monster Energy earrings out of them. I found this on Etsy, a Monster Energy coaster. If it's Monster Energy, I have to buy it. Monster Energy sign in the back, I had to buy it. If I can make anything out of Monster Energy, I'm going to. I'm trying to think. I know Hot Topic. I love Hot Topic. I'm not sure if that could be considered one, but I like how Hot Topic's doing to, like, do plus size stuff and reach out to different communities. I like Hot Topic a lot. So two honorable mentions. They have to be, are you preferring, like, people?
Like I said, bands, anything, you know, anything you like, bands, you know, making stuff, or, you know, or just shows or movies in general.
Too much energy, Hot Topic. Obviously, Icon for Hire definitely has to be a big one. If you guys have never listened to their music, their song Under the Knife is an absolute banger. That is an absolutely powerful song. Goodness. I'm trying to think, well, what has really hit me? Gosh, let me think about this. Well, obviously Skillet. That's yes. One person I would love to meet. That's one person I would love to interact with. The GFM band. I don't know if you've heard of them, the Gold, Frankincense, and Myrrh.
That sounds familiar. I think I've heard of them.
They're a three-girl alt band. I recently collabed with them, and they have definitely brought back faith to me that, like, there are alt girls who don't just want to, like, use me or anything. They're so sweet, and they are, and they're record label is they are signed to Fireflight is signed to the same record label as they are. I love the record label guy that they're working with. I love them, so I definitely have to say the GFM group.
Awesome. So, like, what is some, you know, like, somebody who wants to get into, you know, just the alt style, or, you know, or just being a, you know, doing TikTok successfully? I know that's just like a bang in a bottle or whatever that saying is. What are some of the advice that you can give on that? Or like, one thing I know that I forgot to mention, like, we both do the alternate style. I find it funny that the punk/alt style used to be throw on some jeans and cut it up and put some plaid pants. And now it's one of the most expensive outfits you can make.
You can make them at home. You see this glove right here? I've made this at home.
Oh, that is amazing.
I've made this so many old things though you can make at home. I try to make a lot of my own jewelry, like my monster type braid necklace. Hold on. My rainbow choker, I've made this, or this choker, I've made this one. Like, you can easily make them yourself.
Oh, so, yeah. I've done a couple things. It kind of helps out. I do cosplay. So I've learned the DIY, like yesterday for the pod, I actually made a DIY green screen because I was like, I looked online, I was like, it can't be that hard. Found the science project, you know, three-fold binder and got green poster board and just put it in there. I got to get better lighting apparently because Zoom was like, hey, that worked, but to get your face, you need to light the green up better.
Yeah. Now, my advice for the TikTok thing, I'm going to say this. If you really have a dream to do something, go for it. It may not work. And you know what? That's okay. We all have different purposes in life. But if you really believe this is the road you need to go down and you're pushing for it and all the signs point to that, go for it. Go for it, but be unique. Find your niche or something like that. You gotta find something that is different but speaks you. And like I said, if it doesn't work, that's okay. You tried. That means there's something more suitable and better for you out there. And even despite how crazy it may sound or what people may say, I was a person that was told to stop and to quit several times. And I'm like, nope, I'm too stubborn to quit. As for the alternative people, you're going to have people who are going to disagree, who are going to make fun of you. And you know what? If you want to stop being alternative, that's okay. No one's going to judge you for it. But if you really want to get into it, go for it. If this is what makes you happy and you dressing this way helps you express yourself and embrace who you are, and helps you to like really take care of yourself, go for it. It's okay. It's not wrong. It's not a bad thing. And like, even if you have to wait to move out because your safety, that is okay. You do what's best for you, but don't let anybody tell you it's wrong. Don't let anybody force you to stop doing something because they disagree with it. It is okay. Dress up, have fun with it, embrace it, and find the people who are going to support you in that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for that message. And one other one I want to ask you, like something you can say about, you know, just like the whole presence of your content, like, you know, just being not only just being this alternative, you know, like emo goddess look, but just, you know, being that mix with, you know, your faith and being a Christian, having those, what would consider two people consider two different worlds, you know, coming to be one. What is, you know, like, somebody, you know, explain like somebody being alternative, being a Christian as well. Like, what is the advice you can give to them?
The Bible says nothing about wearing black is evil. It says nothing about it. And if anyone tries to bring up Proverbs 31, it doesn't talk about what she wore. It talks about what she provided and her actions. And that is what speaks. If you're in walk with God and this is how you dress is not causing you to stumble, but it helps you walk closer with him, go for it. It's gonna be a pain. It's gonna be difficult. And there's my favorite song by Thousand Foot Crutch, World says worlds collide. Worlds can't collide. The Bible is not just black and white. There's a gray area in it, and that is okay. And unfortunately, there's gonna be people who may not understand and who are going to be blinded to it. But go through the Bible. Go over to the Bible yourself. Look into it yourself if you need to. If you're someone like, I understand the fear that's there, thinking that you're going to be struck by lightning just this way. You're not going to be. Look into it yourself. The Bible says nothing but wearing black is evil. Dressing this way is demonic. It's not. It's how you display your form of worship to God. You're displaying the creativity that God's given you, and that is okay. It's your gift. You want to use it? Go for it.
Yes. And like how I've kind of that same thing. The only thing I'm like, the only one I'm like, that might not be as if it has, you know, like satanic symbols on it, you know, like 666 or, you know, the pentagram.
Sure what you're wearing is in respects to what is in line with the Bible. That's be the only thing.
Yes. I'm like, you can be alternative and not have to wear, you know, Ouija boards and pentagrams.
So make sure you're in respects to what you believe and to. And it's not in like anything that's not condescending. It's what's the word I'm looking for? Crap, not conspiracy. It's, oh gosh.
I'm trying to figure out the word myself and I can't think of it.
I can't think of it right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. It's and God like honoring. You said the, what was the word?
God honoring.
Yes, yes. And like you said with the Clash of the Worlds, it's something that like I've gotten to too. Like I don't wear as much as I used to because I've gotten more stronger in my Christian faith. I have like Viking ancestors in my blood and stuff. And so I've looked into, you know, like the Viking heritage and, you know, the Celtic knots. And for a long time, I wore the tri of the Celtic knot because it's one in the Vikings, it was for, you know, protection of your ancestors. And then in the Christian, I didn't know this. I had a guy who grew up Catholic and he was like, yeah, you know, that's a Christian symbol too. And I was like, I didn't know that. And he was like, yeah, he's like, in the Vikings, it's, you know, the protection of your ancestors. But in Christianity, it's a symbol of the Trinity. And I was like, I didn't know that. And I was like, so I was like, it's a mix of both my things.
That's the word I'm looking for. Controversial.
Yes.
And make sure it's respect to other religions, stuff like that and everything else. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And so I was like, it's a mix of my two things that, you know, the two things that I, you know, help me process this thing that we're put here to do this thing. And like I said, thank you so much for, you know, coming on and being a fan and, you know, being open and honest and, you know, telling the podcast, opening about things that you haven't, you know, even put on your own platform. So I thank you for that, be able to be open and vulnerable on my show. Cause that is one thing I aspire to be for this show is, I want to show, like, you know, show people that, like, how, you know, like, I know people know you're, like, people are real, but, like, you know, show, like, you can be vulnerable and you can be open about things and it's okay. You don't have, like, to hold things in.
How do you expect people to be vulnerable with you if you're not going to be vulnerable with them?
Exactly, exactly. And so I was like, I like to show people like yourself, you know, other artists that, like, these are real people. Yes, we know, like, the things that they've worked on and things they've done, but these are real everyday people. Yeah. What made them get into this? What inspired them? What happened to them when they were like 5 years old? What they went on a ride at Disney. I was like, I know I see the guy on the screen, but I like the guy working the camera. I want to do that. You know, like getting those real honest stories that a lot of people, you don't really hear on other interviews and stuff. I didn't realize with John, like I've heard tons of interviews with him and I never knew about, you know, him growing up the way with his parents and how strict they were about, you know, even he, like he said, like even rock music, like Christian rock music was more the devil to his mom than secular.
It's not though. It's not. It's not a form of worship.
Oh yeah. And so I was like, oh, I never knew that. And so, and the thing with him wearing black, now that he, you know, does all the black of the black hair, and he was like, yeah, makeup. She would go crazy if I wore a black, she saw the black t-shirt and tattoos. And so I was like, I never knew that. So bringing, you know, stuff like that out with that. But yeah, so like I said, it's great, you know, hearing your stories and, you know, following your content for so long and, you know, me and her and, you know, getting to know the real you and behind your content and now hearing your stories, I can see that now. I kind of thought it was just me relating, you know, from my experiences. Now knowing that you had those sort of same experiences, I'm like, okay, yes, now I was reading that right. That was coming through your content. So your message is coming through.
I really hope so. Especially with the month of June and what that month is, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna really try to reach out to these people. Here's all the love for you. And that's what I really am hoping for. Like I was praying and hoping, like, I hope this reaches people. Like, I don't want people to be like, this, my content isn't just for Christians, it's for anybody. And I want them to know that. And I'm like, I don't care. Everyone's like, well, if I'm a witch, if I'm atheist, I'm like, I don't care. Get your butt in here. You are part of it. I'm adopting you. What part of adopting do you not understand? I'm adopting you. There's no receipt. You ain't getting taken back.
Oh, like, yeah. It's like, I'm going to show you the love that, like, even if you're not a part of my religion, like, I'm going to show you the love that I receive from being part of my religion. I'm going to show you the good parts of what, you know, what helps me, you know, be a part of this. Like, I'm going to show you what it's supposed to be like.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I can't be as personable because large platform, safety and boundaries, but I definitely try to do what I can. And if I run into a follower, I try to do everything I can to make sure, one, they don't faint, because that has happened before, and two, they know they're safe. I'm like, do you need a hug? Like, are you okay? I'm like, no, give me a hug. You hug me as long as you need. You need to cry, you can cry. I want them to feel safe. Like, I can't be personable. I can't be like one-on-one. Like, you know what I mean? Especially for my sake and safety and stuff like that. But I definitely try to do what I can.
Oh yeah, for sure. And one thing I want to ask you too, because I like I said, I don't know if, where you guys are located. Like, I'm going to be, I think you said this before, like, you're in Florida or something like that.
I'm in Ohio.
Ohio. Oh, okay. I was about to say, like, I'm going to be near like Florida if you want to collab in real life.
I'm already trying to collab with other people in California. We'll see how that goes. But I am trying to collab with people this summer. So I'm going to be
awesome. Trying. And yeah, see, that's one thing too, that I'm starting, that I've with this, you know, the podcast, I want to, you know, use my platform and, you know, my experiences, and, you know, whether you're, you know, like, yes, I'll talk to Christian people. I'll talk to people who are not, you know, I'll talk to anybody. Like, I tell people, I'm like, if I talk to the same people, like, that are, you know, if I just talk to only Christians, or if I talk to only these people, like, it would get boring. Like, you're like, I want everybody has different stories that I feel need to be heard, and everybody needs, you know, not 15 minutes of fame, but, you know, everybody, I feel like you know, they have different stories and different lives that need to be talked about.
The way I see it is that fame does not last. Stories last a lifetime though.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And like, that's one thing too, like, here as a legacy, you know, just like, you know, even when we're long gone, like, you know, I'll have like, you know, my kids, or, you know, my, you know, grandkids, you know, later on, and be like, hey, listen to your, you know, listen to your dad, listen to your, if something happens, you know, here's a, of what he sounded like, what he looked like. Here's some of his stories, so you can understand him when he was your age, you know? That's, yes. I have a buddy who does a podcast. That's strictly what it's for. He talks about different things in life and struggles he's dealt with. It's a journey of, you know, talking about and opening up about traumas, so when later down the road his son has something to look back on to remember his dad, he's like, even though I'm not, even if he's like, at that time when I'm not here, he has hundreds of hours of me that he can, you know, get to know me on another level. And I, and this is why I'm doing this show. And I was like, Sean, that is awesome. I'm just talking to people about geek, but dude, that is awesome. So is that sort of the same thing for you? You want to have that kind of, even no matter how long it lasts, you want to have, you know, that kind of, that legacy sort of thing.
If I can impact people while I have it, I'm definitely going to try to. Like I said, this is not going to last forever. It's not, and I'm more than okay with that. If I can at least make a statement now, I'm going to try to, and I'm going to continue as long as I have it. And maybe one day we'll fire somebody who will blow up too. And that's, now, you know what? We need more people like that.
Oh yeah. And like I said, that's why I love, you know, hearing your stories and bringing you on, and, you know, kind of, you know, help each other, you know, put our stories out there, you know, reach out so people can hear your stories. Like I said, that's why I reach out to people like you to, you know, I'm like, hey, let me reach out to them and hear their story. And, you know, have people come to the podcast to hear your story that they might not necessarily, you know, like, okay, you're like, this might not be for, you know, strictly for the TikTok crowd, but there's a lot of my audience that this might, you know, hear this side of me that they don't see in my videos, you know?
Right.
So I love helping with that too, you know, and promoting people, you know, I, like I said, I talk to you, like I said, I talk to people that are people know. So, but I also talk to people that, you know, I feel are doing something impactful in what they're doing and need to be heard by people.
And that's how it should be.
Yes. And so that's why, like I said, I reached out to you, and it was a big, honor when you were like, oh, I'm already a fan. And I was like, that's a first, and that is awesome.
Well, I am. And again, I'm very, very grateful you allowed me to do this.
Thank you. So yeah, thank you for coming on. And that's going to be another episode of the Phantom Squad podcast. We always say, would you like to our outro? We always say, enjoy the madness.
Enjoy the madness.
Awesome. Thank you. That was so cool.